step in and try to give you a lesson that might make a difference in your life. I hope it does. I would like to say my mother-in-law and father-in-law are here today, and I appreciate them and my mom and dad here too. But Jimmy, my father-in-law, wanted to thank everyone for the cards and the prayers that have been sent his way under his during his recent illness. So he is very thankful for that. Keep those coming, those prayers especially. He is still facing health issues, so keep him in your prayers. God has created some amazing creatures, and some of the most fascinating creatures that God has made and created are birds. It's kind of fun to see, if y'all don't know it, but there's some bald eagles out in Combine, and it's kind of fun to watch the people stopping along the side of the road just trying to get a glimpse of those bald eagles that are out on a transmission tower that's several, probably a half a mile or a mile or so off the road, but it's fun to watch people stop and with their binoculars trying to get just a glimpse of these bald eagles out there. And the golden eagle, which is akin to the bald eagle, can fly and dive at approximately 200 miles per hour. And that's pretty amazing. And they, of course, they use that speed to catch their prey and to spot prey from high altitudes and then swoop down on their prey to catch it. But you know, one of the fastest birds that God has created is known as the peregrine falcon. And if you know anything about birds, I originally came in or saw the peregrine falcon. If you've been to the state fair, a few years ago they had a bird show. I'm sure a lot of y'all have seen the bird show, but the peregrine falcon was released from the top of the Texas Star. If you know what the Texas Star is, that's the big Ferris wheel. And the peregrine falcon would be, at the signal of the trainer, would be let go at the very top of the Texas Star, and he would swoop down, and the peregrine falcon can fly it up to 242 miles per hour. That was pretty impressive to see that bird swoop down and land on the handler's arm at the front of the stage as right on cue. I think it was called The Wings of the World or something. Janine and I have had a discussion about that. But anyway, it was a great show, fun show to watch. Had some very, very neat birds there. Another very fast-flying bird is a homing pigeon. There's some racing homing pigeons that can fly 110 miles per hour, and that's in level flight. And they've been known to fly 700 miles in a single day. And that's pretty impressive. But the question of the day is, what flies faster than a peregrine falcon? And if you know by the title of their lesson, it's money. Money flies faster than a peregrine falcon. Some say time flies, but I think money is right there with it. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 through 5, gives us that indication in God's Word. It says, "Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Well, the question is, what makes money fly so fast? Well, money flies because we've got family obligations to take care of. We've got house payments. We've got insurance. We've got car payments. And if you don't have a car payment, you've probably got maintenance payments on the old car that you have. If you get a kid in college like I've got, it seemed like it flies out in large stacks, just right out the door. But on top of that, we have the things that we really want. These are the so-called things that we just can't get along without. We need our TVs, big screen. We need our computers. We also like to have nice clothes. We need the newest cell phones. And also, my favorite is, we need to go out to eat every once in a while, especially on Sunday. So all these things cause our money to fly away like eagles. But I would like to say, and I'm not bragging, but I've accumulated enough money at this point in my life to last me the rest of my life. Now, that is if I die by next weekend. So now money is very important, and it's important to all of us for various reasons. And we're going to look at some things that money cannot do first, and then we're going to look at some things that money can do in this life. Of course, many of us know, and the songs that Steve picked out are really good. I really appreciate him doing that for us. Songs about money and its usage and what is most important in this life. But you know, money cannot buy our redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, says, "Knowing that you have not been you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And we inherently know that. Money can't buy our redemption. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, another thing that money cannot buy is money could not buy the Holy Spirit. Simon was a sorcerer that was converted to Christianity in Acts chapter 8. And Simon wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him in verse 20 of Acts chapter 8, said, "Your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." Money can't buy Christ's favor or goodwill. In Revelation, the seven churches of Asia were each critiqued on their worth to God. The church at Laodicea appeared to be a very wealthy congregation. I believe David mentioned something of this in one of his recent sermons, but the church at Laodicea appeared to be a very wealthy congregation. But in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, he says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and warm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." God here chastises the Laodiceans on their positions in life, and that they thought their great wealth would save them. But true wealth was not found in their money. It's found in the church. Money cannot buy heaven, as much as we would like to think of it that way. We would love to have enough money to buy our way into heaven. The great story that illustrates that is found in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. This story is familiar to most of us. A rich man in Lazarus. The rich man there in verse 19 was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, and they both passed from this life and found themselves facing eternity. Of course, the rich man raised his eyes being in torments, and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. The rich man's wealth could not buy him paradise, and not even a drop of water could it buy him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we're not going to carry anything out." So keep that in mind as we try to accumulate wealth in this life. Money cannot buy peace of mind. The great example in biblical perspective is Judas. Judas sold Christ for a few coins. Judas was a greedy person, one of Christ's disciples, but he loved to carry the money bag, as is mentioned a few times in the New Testament. It says in Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.' And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." In the end, Judas had no money, he had no peace, and he lost his soul, all for a few coins. Money can't buy happiness. We've heard that all our lives, but surely money could buy some happiness, couldn't it? If you think about money can't buy happiness, they say, well, it's more comfortable to cry in a Mercedes than on a bicycle, isn't it? That's what some people might say. Also, it says about money buying happiness, it says, but it brings a more pleasant form of misery. But that's not always true, is it? Money has its own set of miseries. King Solomon, who we believe wrote Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I'm going to read through this and follow with me if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Solomon here says, "I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had the servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the lights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Of course, we read in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, that King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. But Solomon didn't find that peace of mind that he expected to find in all his great wealth. It was all vanity and grasping for the wind. Money could not heal, and it cannot heal. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Money could not heal, but the power of God could heal in this instance. All the money in the world can't buy health, as much as we would like to think so. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 43 and 44, says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment," speaking of Christ, "and immediately her flow of blood stopped." You know, money can provide us good health care, but it's not always the health that we would desire. We sometimes can't get that health back that we once had. If you ask anyone who's suffering from a terminal illness, how much money would they give to be healed? How much would they pay? There are certain things that, as we see here, the money can't do, but there's certain things that money can do. There's some good things that money can be used for, and there's some bad things that money can be used for. On the bad side, money can bribe. You know, Judas was bribed for the life of Christ for a few coins, as we mentioned earlier. Matthew chapter 26, verse 15, it said, "And said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?'" Speaking here of Judas. "And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." And in Matthew chapter 28, another bribe is given with money. The soldiers were bribed to tell a lie about Christ's body. It says in Matthew 28, 12, "When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers." And this was a bribe for the soldiers to testify that someone had came and stolen the body of Christ away. It's later said that that story remains unto this day. Money can be used to bribe. You know, money can buy friends, and it can buy favoritism, if only for a short while, but it can be used for that purpose. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4 says, "Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend." So money can buy you friends and influence for a while. And we'll look at that in just a moment too. James chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3 talks about we're warned against showing partiality, and this has to do with wealth. It says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there, sit here at my footstool.'" Let us not be guilty of showing partiality and allowing wealth to influence our opinion of others. As we mentioned, the prodigal son, you know, he was able to buy influence and friends for a short while, but as he lost that money, he lost those friends. The prodigal son is found in Luke chapter 15. One other biblical thing that could be used with money is money can pay your taxes. You know, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, says Christ, when he was confronted with paying taxes, he says there in Matthew chapter 17, 27, he says, "Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you." You know, they say a fool and his money are soon parted. Well, the rest of us, we wait till tax time, isn't that right? So we are departed with our money a lot at tax time. Jay Leno, a while back, he had a little advice about the IRS audit. He says, don't do anything. If you're worried about an IRS audit, don't do anything that throw up red flags to the IRS. And he says, things like having money left in your account after you pay taxes, that's a red flag. So you don't supposed to have any money left over. But that was from Jay Leno. Now, there are some good things that money can do. The early church is described as a very generous group of people. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 45, it says, the early church, speaking of here, says, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, and they laid them at the apostles' feet and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. The early church is described here in both of these passages, and they sold their goods, they helped each other out, they fed the hungry, they supported the weak. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, Paul was commending the early church as it grew and began to establish itself. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Money can be used to support the gospel. And this lesson wasn't planned to go along with the presentation of the budget, but we're going to have that in just a few minutes. It's kind of a weird coincidence. I already had this all going, but I appreciate the work of the elders in that regard. But the money can be used to support the gospel. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14 through 16, talking about the Apostle Paul here, he says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. The Apostle Paul was very thankful for the support of these congregations and these fellow Christians in the work that he was doing. Money can be used to support missionaries, which we are part of at this congregation, building church buildings. Also, this congregation should be commended for the speediness of our recent money or generosity toward our new building project. I think that was great how quickly we accumulated those funds for that good work. Money can be used to purchase literature to spread the gospel around the world. It can be used to buy radio, television time. And one that's really catching on is supporting internet ministries. Money can be used to fund those type of works. I think here in this congregation, World Bible School is probably one of the most cost-effective ways of reaching those around the world, and that money can be used in a very cost-effective way to help that great work. One thing is for sure, the Lord knows the value of a dollar, and that's the reason that God and Christ expected us to give. You know, money can be used for good, and it can be used for our destruction just as easily. And that's the reason God commanded us to give. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Money surely does take flight. It seems like it goes quicker all the time. But you know, we can guide the path our money takes. And I would say, let us be generous with our money. And that means in all areas of our life, because it is a gift of God given to us by Him. As was mentioned, money can't buy salvation. But salvation is very affordable. It's affordable to the rich and the poor. It's free. It's free to those who respond in faith, repenting of their past sins, confessing Christ as Lord and putting Him on in baptism. The best things in life truly are free. If there's any reason you might need to come forward at this time, please come now.